Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we place ourselves right now in submission and under the authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, we place ourselves humbly right now at your feet. And Lord, we pray, would you now give us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts that are ready to respond to you. Lord, help us to hear your word for us individually, personally, and as a church, O Father. Lord, we know that one word from you can change everything. And Lord, your word is living, and your word is spirit and life. So Lord, we want to receive from you. Help us to receive from you this morning. And to you, O Lord, be all the glory, even as Brother Chen has prayed that. To you indeed be all the glory, honor, and praise. We give this time to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, this morning, we are going to be sharing from Matthew chapter 22, all right? And I've entitled this morning's sharing as Responding to the King. Now, our responses. From the time that we were born, we would have made countless number of responses to the people and to the environment around us. We respond, meaning that we answer or we react to the requests of people, to their ideas, their views, to situations and circumstances that occur in our life, be it expected or unexpected ones. And sometimes we respond out of instinct. Sometimes we respond out of emotions. Sometimes we respond only after careful deliberation and thought, with commitment and with gravity. Some of our responses are meant only for the moment. For example, if we were to eat something delicious or we would see something beautiful, or perhaps to a passing comment made by one of our friends. But some of our responses would impact us for the rest of our lives. For example, when couples, they say, "I do," to take each other as husband and as wife in the presence of God, to cherish, to hold in sickness, in health, to till death do they part, as part of their marriage vow. But most of our responses would impact us only for as long as we are in this world, or even if we were to stretch it, for as long as this world exists. So are there responses that would impact us, both here in this world and beyond time in this world, that is, eternity? This morning, we will be talking about such responses. Responses that will determine and impact our lives, both during our time here in this world and beyond into eternity. Last week, Pastor Stewart shared from Matthew chapter 21. He spoke on the return of the king. Now, Matthew chapter 21 and the first part of Matthew chapter 22, that is the parable of the wedding feast, they are usually read together because Jesus was addressing a similar audience and he was communicating to them a similar theme and message. And so he used three parables. The first parable that he spoke of was the parable of the two sons. The second one is the parable of the tenants in the vineyard. And the third parable would be the parable of the wedding feast. If Matthew, the author of the Gospel of Matthew, were to put all three parables together, you can be sure that there is a certain message and a sure message that he wants to communicate. And so this morning, we'll be focusing on the parable of the wedding feast, specifically on the deferring responses to the king's invitation. Let's read from our main text this morning, Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Now, Jesus also told them other parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited. But they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, "The feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet." But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, and the guests I have invited aren't worthy of the honor. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see." So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the wedding the banquet hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. "Friend," he asked, "how is it that you are here without wedding clothes?" But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, "Bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Now, during the time of Jesus, there will be typically two stages for the wedding invite. The first invite was to announce the wedding and for the guests to lock in the date, to RSVP. The second invite will then be sent out to inform them once the banquet or the meal is ready for their arrival. So in this parable here, the king has sent out the second invitation to those who have been invited, to those who have RSVP'd. And subsequently, Jesus will tell of three different responses by the guests to the king's invitation, as well as the corresponding response by the king. Now, the first response, we will look at the group that was originally invited, those who had RSVP'd, who said that they will come. When the second invitation was sent out, it turned out that they decided not to attend the feast after all. They are like the first son that we heard about in the earlier parable of the two sons. The first son who initially said yes to the father, but eventually he did not follow through his word. So the king sent his servants again, and essentially this will be the third time right now, to tell them, "Hey, the steak, the bulls, and the wagyu beef, the fattened cattle, they are grilled and they are ready. Come to the feast." Still, the invited guests, they either ignored the invitation or they gave various excuses. "Oh, I need to feed the chicken in the farm. I need to send out some work emails in the office." Some of the guests even posted insults on Facebook, and they trolled the servants' social media as well. And some of the guests took the king's messengers and servants and killed them, martyred them. According to the parable, as a result of their response, as a result of their attitude, their behavior, the king turned away from those who were originally invited, and he sent his army to destroy those who killed his servants. Thereafter, the king sent his servants into the streets and invited all else who they are able to find. Now we will look at the second and the third response, and they come from the group that was subsequently invited, or rather, they were consequently invited. According to Jesus, most of the guests in this second group, they responded positively. They responded to the king's invitation, and they turned up at the wedding feast. So all seemed well and all seemed good. But however, there was this one particular guest who was in the wedding hall, and he caught the eye of the king, but not for a good reason. Because this guest was not dressed in proper wedding clothes. So the king asked this odd guest, why was he not in proper wedding clothes? To which the guest was unable to give an answer. So in other words, this guest knew that he should be properly attired, but he thought that perhaps he might be able to get away with it. As a result, the king commanded for this guest who was improperly dressed to be bound up and to be thrown into outer darkness. Now, this description of outer darkness speaks figuratively of hell, the place of eternal punishment and destruction, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then at the end of this parable, Jesus delivers his main point. For many are called, but few are chosen. So you see that while the king's invitation was sent out to everyone, there were three responses to the king's invitation. Those who initially accepted it, but eventually rejected the invitation. Those who accepted the invitation, but turned up without the wedding clothes, the wedding attire. And third response were by those who accepted the invitation and they were dressed for the wedding event. And it turned out that those in the third response group who accepted the invitation and who turned up with the proper wedding attire, these were the chosen ones. Now I wonder, if we were one of the guests who heard the king's invitation, you and I, if we were one of them, what would be our response? What would be our response to his invitation? Which of these three would it be? Now, I'm sure that none of us would want to be rejected or to be destroyed by the king. None of us would want to be sentenced to eternal punishment and destruction because we were not rightly dressed in our wedding attire. But we would want to be amongst those who responded to the king's call and who were properly dressed in attire, right? Right? You don't seem sure. Do you want to be one of those who responded right and who are properly dressed? Yes? Or you mean there are some of you who actually considered, you know, being in the first two groups? I hope not. So then the next question would be this. How do we ensure that we have the proper wedding attire? So we have seen that the king, in his benevolence and in his generosity, he earnestly made his invitation open to everyone. The king even sent out his invitations repeatedly. Similarly, God has made his invitation of salvation through his Son, Jesus, to everyone. And this invitation, God's invitation, comes with the promises of the forgiveness of our sins, the redemption from the bondage and the consequences of sin, the peace and reconciliation of relationship with our Creator and our Heavenly Father, and the promise of resurrection on that final day and eternal life with God thereafter. All of these promises offered to us in and through Christ Jesus. While we were still lost in our sins, lost in our sins means when we are still separated from God and we were doomed for eternal punishment and death, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, laid down his life on our behalf, and he became that sacrifice of atonement for us. Jesus, God, demonstrated their love for us, while also at the same time satisfying and fulfilling the justice of God towards sin. God's invitation, His call of salvation is open to everyone. But the response to God's call is not without standards or requirement, nor is it to be treated lightly. Our response to God, to His invitation, is to be one of true repentance and wholehearted faith in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 38, after the powerful visitation and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at what we now know as the Pentecost event, the people who were there, after they have heard the Apostle Peter's sermon that Jesus is the Lord and Messiah, these people were deeply convicted. And they responded to Apostle Peter with this question: what should they do? Or what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, to repent means that we turn away and we walk away from our sins, from our old sinful way of life. To be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ means that we identify ourselves fully with Christ by putting to death our old self. And as Christ was raised to life, we too are raised to a new life in Christ. And henceforth, we are to put on the new man and we are to live according to the image and to the life of Christ Jesus. And then, as it is written in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10, this is what will happen. It says that I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. When we accept the call, God's call of salvation, God's invitation of salvation, by repenting of our ways and putting in our faith in Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, God will forgive and cleanse us of our sins with the blood of Jesus. He will remove our filthy rags of unrighteousness because of sin. And He will cover us instead with the pure and the clean robe of Christ's righteousness. It is only with the righteousness of Christ that our garment can be pure and white as snow. Not our own righteousness. We can never achieve that. It's only with the righteousness of Christ. When Christ Jesus returns to this earth for the second time and for the final time, He will come like a groom who comes for His spotless bride. His spotless bride being His people, God's people, and His church. As God's people, we need to be ready and we need to be dressed in the proper wedding attire when Christ Jesus returns. So to be clothed with the proper wedding attire, it starts first with true repentance and wholehearted faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But how do we know if we are living in true repentance and wholehearted faith in Christ Jesus? How would we know? How do we know that when we accepted God's call of salvation, it was not just simply an emotional response, but it was a response of commitment? In other words, how do we know that we are not like the guest, that man in the parable that we read, who responded to the king's wedding invitation, but he turned up without the proper wedding attire? And the answer is this: fruitfulness. Look at the fruits of our life. We may look like we are attending church. We may look like we are reading the Bible, or that we are lifting hands in worship, or that we are serving in a church ministry. The tree may look green and it may look leafy, but is there evidence of fruits on the tree? We heard last week from Pastor Stewart in Matthew chapter 21, where Jesus said that he saw that the tree was green and leafy, but there were no fruits on it, there were no figs on it. To Jesus, that tree was as good as dead. And this is like the church in Sardis that we read of in the book of Revelation, one of the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelations. The church of Sardis, in Sardis, they had the appearance of being alive, but in fact, they were dead. So if you were to recall what we read earlier in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, where the question was asked, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, our lives should be yielding the fruits and the evidence of the Holy Spirit working in and through our life. There should be the evidence of our repentance and our faith in our new life in Christ because of the Holy Spirit's work in and through our lives. The Holy Spirit seeks to reveal and to glorify Christ Jesus in and through us. And the Holy Spirit wants to transform us more and more into the glorious image of Christ. And so, if we are living in true repentance and wholehearted faith in Jesus, then I'm going to share with you some of the key evidence of that we should see of the Holy Spirit's work in and through our lives. Firstly, our character and our person should change. We should be growing more in Christ-likeness, more in humility, more in compassion. There should be the fruit of the Spirit that's evident in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we growing in these areas? Peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Secondly, our affections and our mindset should change. The desires of our hearts, our appetites should change. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life should gradually lose their appeal on us as we grow in our experience and in the yearning for the true rewards and treasures that are found only in Christ Jesus. We should be setting our minds on things above. Are we living daily with priorities and a perspective of life that is set on eternity? Thirdly, we should be serving God and we should be serving others. Be it in the church, in our workplace, schools, wherever God has planted us, we should be serving God and serving others by the gift and by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And fourthly, really, it comes down to this, right? If we say that we are in the Lord and we are growing in the Lord, our love for God and our love for others, for one another, should be growing deeper and deeper. It comes down to this. In everything that we do, in our Christian faith, our Christian life, our faith in Christ, it must come down to this one thing. Are we growing in love for God more? Are we growing more in love for others? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, Jesus said there were two great commandments. There are two great commandments. And the first is this: love the Lord your God with half of your heart, half of your soul, and half of your mind. Is that right? What should it be? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Are we loving God with our all? And the second commandment that he gave was love your neighbor, which, by the way, includes our enemies. Love our neighbor as yourself. Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? Let's bring it closer to home. Are we loving our immediate family members as ourselves? Are we loving our church members, our spiritual family, as ourselves? This command to love God and to love others is not so that we can earn favor from God or we can earn more of His love. No. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. There's nothing good enough that we can do to earn His love. Rather, we love God and we love others because of the love and the grace that we have experienced and that we have received from God, which He gives us so lavishly, extravagantly. So how much we love God and how much we love others is proportional to our revelation of His love and His grace for us. The more that we know of God's love and grace for us, the more we will love God. And we will love God by loving others. Love God by loving others. And so that is why Jesus said this, that if we truly love Him, we will willingly, wholeheartedly keep His commandments. That's in John chapter 14, 15. And this is why the focus and the theme for our church, GCC, Grace City Church, for this year, and I would say even for the years to come, the theme is based on 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And it says, whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Jesus. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. And so, true repentance and wholehearted faith in Christ Jesus would and it should yield the evidence and the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in and through our lives. Now, for believers of Christ Jesus who are walking as disciples, who are walking as followers of Jesus, who are doing our best to walk in repentance and in faith towards God, be encouraged and be assured that just as how God has drawn us to Himself by His grace, God will also, by His grace and by His Spirit, enable us and empower us to walk in the newness of life in Christ, to walk in holiness, in repentance, and in faith. And I'm going to share with you some of the promises that God has given us that assures us of God's commitment to seeing His children and the disciples of Christ through to the very end. And these are just some of the promises. In Philippians chapter 1, 6, God who started a good work in us will be faithful to the completion of it. In Philippians 2, 13, God is the one who will work in us effectively both to will and to do His good pleasure. In John chapter 6, 37, 39, Jesus has said that he will not cast out, nor will he lose any whom God has given to him. And Jesus will raise them up on that last day. And we also know from Hebrews 7, 25 that Jesus is the one who will intercede for us. In Jude 24, Jesus is the one who will keep us from stumbling, from falling away, and to present us blameless before God on that glorious day. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, God who calls us, He is faithful, and He will do it. And these are some of the truly wonderful and sure promises of God towards us who believe. Our part, though, we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is here in 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light, and if that word walk, the tense of it is if we keep walking, it means. Walk meaning if we keep walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us. Cleanses is in present continuous tense. Cleanses us from all sin. So on our part, we must keep walking in the light of Christ faithfully, in obedience to all that Jesus has taught and commanded us to do. Then we will stay in fellowship with God, and we will stay in fellowship with one another. And the Holy Spirit who lives in us will help us, and He will keep us in His name and in His love. Brothers and sisters, the King's invitation, God's invitation, to you is still open today. God's call of salvation, His invitation to be redeemed from the penalty of sin and to be reconciled to Him, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son, this invitation is still open and is sounding out throughout the earth. And as we have heard the parable of how the king would earnestly send out the second and the third invitations, we are this morning, today, imploring you, on God's behalf, come to the wedding feast that God has prepared for His people. Jesus, in His first arrival into this world 2,000 years ago, He came as the revelation of God to reveal who God is and as the Messiah and Savior of the world. Jesus declared that the kingdom of God has come, and so He's calling all people to repent and turn back to God. Jesus, in His second coming, He will be returning as the groom to receive His bride, God's people, His church. His church is meant to be radiant, without stain or wrinkle, without blemish, and holy. In His second coming, other than coming as the groom, Jesus is also returning as the king and the judge at that final judgment, before He makes all things new. Now look at the dramatic escalation of the events around the world today, political, economically, socially, the natural climate event. The prophecies that we read about in the Bible tells us that we will see more and more and greater upheavals in this world before Christ Jesus returns. Look at what's happening in our world today and compare it with the last century. Compare it with the whole of human history over the last 2,000 years. I can tell you, we are already on the cusp of the return of Christ Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we are reminded that God is not slow in keeping His promise. His promise that Jesus, His Son, will return again. God is not slow in keeping that promise. But God is still patiently giving us a little more time for people to respond to His invitation, because God desires for no one to perish, but that for all to come to repentance. So how will we respond to Jesus today? How will we respond from this point forward? Have we accepted God's invitation of salvation from our sins through His Son, Jesus? And for those of us who have accepted God's salvation invitation, God's salvation call, are we properly dressed in our wedding attire? And are we ready for the return of Christ, our Lord and King? It will be foolhardy for us to think that perhaps we might still have some time to decide, some time to just hang on before Christ returns. Or perhaps for those of us who might know a little bit about end time events, that perhaps we could just wait a little and wait for the end time Antichrist to come up and appear in this world before we get our act together. The truth is this: neither of us know when Christ Jesus is returning, and neither of us know exactly when the end time Antichrist would appear in the world. But even before these things happen, neither of us know when our time is up in this world. And even if the Antichrist does appear, and if we are still around then, it will be extremely difficult for us to live and to stand for our Christian faith during that time. God's word tells us, during that time there will be unprecedented persecution. Many Christians will be martyred, many would stumble and give up their faith. But only those who are and have been walking in the Spirit and by the Spirit, only these will be able to stand firm to the end. And so that is why the authors of Psalms, Psalm 95, and Hebrews 3, these authors would exhort us, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear God's invitation to turn back to Him, do not harden your hearts. What will be our response to God's call, to His invitation today, this morning? I'd like to invite the worship team up. What will be our response to God this morning? Are we properly dressed in our wedding attire? And are we ready for Christ's return? Or perhaps you might be sitting here this morning, you have been attending church for some time, but you have not actually really given your life over to Christ. Or those who are watching online, you have not actually accepted God's gift of salvation and acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. What would be your response to Christ this morning? Do you know, Jesus said this, that on that last day, many would say to Him, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these great things in Your name? Did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out demons, heal the sick in Your name? But Jesus said that He will say this to them, I do not know you, away from me. Do we know God truly? Are we in obedience to His will for us? I'd like to invite you to now to just take a bit of time right now and respond to the Lord. Respond to the Lord this morning. What is God prompting your heart this morning? Now, I want to give an opportunity. Keep everyone with heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to give an opportunity for those of us who may be here this morning and we have not actually accepted God's invitation for salvation yet. If this is you, I want to urge you to accept His salvation. Accept His call, because this is one decision and one response that will determine and impact us not only in this world, but in life eternal. So if this is you, and you want to accept God's call and God's invitation for salvation, I want to invite you to just raise your hand so that I can lead you in a prayer of commitment. For those of us who are watching online, I want to also invite you, would you respond to the Lord, even at the sound of His voice? Today, if you hear His invitation, do not harden your hearts. And I'm just going to, right now, lead in this prayer of commitment. Those who are watching online, those who are here, and would you repeat this prayer after me with all sincerity unto the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I confess that I have sinned, and I choose from this day forth to repent, to turn from my sins. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe that You are the Son of God and You are the only way to God, that You died on the cross for my sins, that You were buried and rose again from the dead. I receive You, Jesus, as my Savior, and I confess You as my Lord. I thank You for what You did for me. And by faith, I receive now Your gift of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. Please accept me now and make me a child of God. Help me by Your Spirit to live in Your way of life. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Now, I'd like to pray for the rest of us who are believers. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your love and Your grace towards us, Your mercies towards us. We pray, Father, that daily help us to have a fresh encounter with the love of God. Help us to grasp the extent of God's extravagant grace and Your generous mercy in our lives. Help us to truly love You with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. Help us to truly love our neighbor as ourselves, starting with our immediate family and with our church, our household of faith. Help us to walk in true repentance and wholehearted faith in Christ, in obedience and faithfulness to the will of God, in submission to You, Holy Spirit. Help us to know the urgency of the times that we are living in, and help us to faithfully and courageously reach out to our loved ones, to our friends, to those whom God has put into our paths with the gospel, the good news of Christ. Help us, Lord, in all of these, for the glory of your name and yours alone. In Jesus' name, we pray these. Amen. Amen. Can we stand and respond to the Lord with this song, please?